We are in a series about how to be an emotionally healthy church. Today we want to talk about the gift of limits. And we're not people who are given to thinking of limits as a gift. We want no limits at all. In our world, in the Western world right now, all the records, athletic records in women's athletic events are falling. They're falling to human beings who are biologically male, but who wish to be known as women. And there's some undertones there. Living inside of a male psyche, as I have for my life, I can't help but be a little bit cynical or a little bit suspicious that if someone couldn't make it to the very top in men's events, then they wouldn't be beyond re-establishing the boundaries so that they could be super women, perhaps. And the generation that is doing that has been led by a generation who has given them permission to think that way, to be that way. But we as humans are driven to achieve and to do all manner of things, to have no limits at all. In some ways, that's good. We find out what we're capable of. We've been to the moon. We do all manner of things. We've made it possible for most of the people on the planet to have food and health care. Now, it doesn't get equally distributed, but we have created enough that if we really wanted to, we could do that. But it's really our limitations that give us our greatness. Our limitations being that which we have to live with. We have to sleep at night or sometime. We have to eat. We have to stop and gather up food to eat. We have to do all kinds of things. In fact, probably most of what we do is because we are limited. We only get a certain amount of time to be alive on this earth in these bodies. And that's a limitation. Our elders have told us that too soon we get old and too late we get smart. And so we feel a little desperate about that at the end of the game. Like I'm just now figuring this out. If I'd have known this a few decades ago, what I know now. But it's always that way. It's always that way. That's a limit. Limitations give us our greatness because we have to do great despite those limitations, but they also create our greatest wickedness. Our drive to achieve creates our greatest wickednesses. And read about it in the Bible, starting from the Tower of Babel. We will build a tower to heaven, and we will be like God. That is wound in our basic nature. Jesus' greatness and his work really had completely to do with his limitations. And I would like to read now in Scripture, if we might, at Luke chapter 4. Now, in Luke, we've just had a genealogy, and before that is Jesus' baptism. And so the story is Jesus has been baptized, and the Holy Spirit has come on him in the form of a dove. And so it says here in Luke's chapter 4, verse 1, Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, left the Jordan where he was baptized and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. When you see wilderness here, think rocks and hot sun. He ate nothing during those days, and at the end of those days, he was hungry. That is, his body was going to need food now, or he was going to begin to die. The devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, tell this stone to become bread. There's so much of it around, you know." And Jesus answered from the book of Deuteronomy, "It is written, man shall not live on bread alone." In other words, it was the Holy Spirit who led me out here, and it's the Holy Spirit who will provide what I need. Verse 5, the devil led him up onto a high place and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. And he said to him, "I will give you all their authority and splendor. It has been given to me, and I can give it to anyone I want to. If you worship me, it will all be yours. No limits." Jesus answered, "It is written in Deuteronomy again, worship the Lord your God and serve him only." The devil led him to Jerusalem and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. "If you are the Son of God," so you shouldn't have any limitations, he said, "throw yourself down from here, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to guard you carefully. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone." Jesus answered from Deuteronomy again, "It is said, do not put the Lord your God to the test." When the devil had finished all this tempting, he left him until an opportune time, which was at the garden at Gethsemane. So his greatest temptation, the devil's greatest temptation for us, is don't accept your limits. Don't accept your limits at all. But God wants us to be thankful for the gift we have of limits. We ought to be grateful people for the limits that we have, that we are creatures of his making, that we live in space and time. We cannot get out of that limitation, and we have to work with that. And yet God blesses us in that limitation. So some ideas from the book that we're taking our study from Peter Scazzaro's book, Emotionally Healthy Church. First thing, question any church that has no limits, that acts like it has no limits. In this church, can we be who we are? Is that enough for God, for us to be all that he can make us to be through his Son, through the power of his Spirit, through the guidance of his Word? Are we okay with that? Must we be from a big box store in the city? I mean, if we wanted to look like a church, some other church that we admired, we could buy their stuff, their material, their kit, and bring it here, and we could become imitators. We could be like that church. Now, I'm not saying that's wicked or evil. I'm just saying that that's a possibility. That's a choice we have to decide about that. Do we play the "if you are" game? The devil said to Jesus, "If you are the Son of God," and I think he says to us sometimes, "If you are the people of God, should you not be thus and so?" And if we play that game, we find ourselves being in a position where we, if we are the people of God, then we can't be seen to be looking less than perfect. That's a temptation, that we always look perfect. We can't be seen, if we are the church of God, surely we couldn't make mistakes. Surely we can't be seen with certain kinds of people, or we will look all wrong. But if we give in to that temptation, we will cover our weaknesses and limitations. But believe me, they're still here, even if we pretend they are not. And people, if we cover up our weaknesses and limitations and we become supermen and superwomen that are just unapproachably wonderful, then people will find it difficult to see how God is working in us. They will be, if they're impressed with us, they'll be worshiping us instead of God. Or they might be so intimidated, I could never be like those people. I got real problems. They're obviously, they've got it made. They were born into the right families, whatever. Question the church without limits. So we are certainly a group of people with our limits. We're real people. We're all in this together. God has called us together in this generation. Why weren't you born 200 years ago? Why wasn't I born 50 years from now? I don't know. Except maybe that we're supposed to be here together, to walk together in this life, in this place, and in this time. So we want to be a church that is grateful and finds joy in the limitations that God sets for us. And there's a good reason for that. We talked about it last week, because it's in our limitations and in our weaknesses that God shows himself great. That's where his strength is known. So it is a gift. Question the church without limits. Recognize also that Jesus embraced human limits. We were talking about this already in the temptation story. The greatness of Jesus is confusing to us. Our experience is that all human greatness is at some level a show. We say of the great among us, he puts his trousers on one leg at a time, just like the rest of us. And strangely, we find that God is okay with doing exactly that, being a regular guy. Jesus shows God's power and love without pretense. It is the supreme confidence of Godness that he simply does not require advertisement, public relations, makeup, lights, or wardrobe. This really is God with us, and we are either following or not. If we stay close with Jesus, we hear and see. If not, we live with second, third, or fourth-hand information and hearsay. Hence the value to us now of having written eyewitness accounts. Gospel of Luke, for one. We struggle with the idea that God truly lives in the flesh with all of its inconveniences and messiness, its limitations, finding a place to empty bladder and bowel, waking in a young man's wet dream, feeling wine dull the edge of consciousness, having eyes distracted by female beauty, etc. Now, these notions would have millions throughout the last two millennia screaming, blasphemy! It could never be! You can't talk about Jesus that way. But that is exactly what is being said, that God comes down to our station. And so Jesus embraced human limits. 30 years of his life, we really don't know much of anything. We know about the birth. We know about one time when he went to Jerusalem as a young man, 12 or so. But he took that time to grow physically, to grow mentally, emotionally, spiritually. We don't know of any miracles that he did. John says the wedding at Cana was his first sign that he did. And so we come to the temptation in the desert, where Jesus faces the temptation to move beyond the limits he has voluntarily taken for himself. If you are the Son of God, skip the limitation of passing through death. You don't have to do this. You're the Son of God. The temptation is this: you are wasting time just being you. You could be something more. If you want to find what that more looks like, just turn on your computer, turn on your TV. It's out there for us. The glories of every kind of human endeavor imaginable. And yet we find that our Lord took the opposite tact. Turn with me, if you would, to Philippians chapter 2, where Paul talks about limitations. Philippians chapter 2. I'll just start at the beginning of the chapter. We'll read 11 verses. If you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if you have any comfort from his love, if any fellowship with the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being in one spirit and purpose. Do nothing out of conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. That's very limiting. Each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. More limitations. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus. And here's where he takes on limitations. Who, being in very nature God, that is to say, not having limits, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped or hang on to, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, limitation, 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 and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, limitation, even death on a cross, big limitation. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at every name, at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Jesus accepted the limitations of being human, and because of that, God took all those limitations back away. Recognize that Jesus embraced human limitations, and we are saved because he did that. Now, for ourselves, we have to learn how to discern our own limitations and be aware of them, because we're working against culture when we do that. We talked about some of these things before. Figure out what your personality is about. Some of us have personalities that make it more difficult for us to do certain things, say to be nice or to be honest or to be whatever. That doesn't mean we shouldn't do those things. It just means that we have to work harder at it. We have to accept that limitation. This is who I am. I was born into this family. Jesus was born into a particular family. He had a certain height. He had a certain attitude, had a certain mannerism. He had a certain smell to him. He took on all those things for our sake. He had a certain personality. And we do too. And we have to work with that. We are at a particular season of life. as you get older in life, you will find that more and more of your options disappear. When you're young, life is confusing because there's just so many things out there to choose from. And as you get older, those things become fewer and fewer and fewer. And eventually you're just happy to be able to be here, be anywhere. It's okay, but that's where you are. Can you live with that limitation of where you are right now? Your life situation. Our friend Richard DeRocher, he's just been moved from an ICU hospital situation at UMass to a rehab place. He's got some limitations, and he might never be quite the same as he was before. But you know what? He's got a really good attitude. He really does. He's thankful to God for every single day he gets and whatever he can get in that day. And so he lives with that limitation. What are your emotional, physical, intellectual capacities? What negative emotions have been kind of programmed into you by the things that have happened to you in your life? The scars and the wounds from your family past. Can you work with that limitation? Or should I say, will you let God work with that limitation? The question will be, what did you do with what you had? Not were you like some other person that you look up to, or like at least you're not as bad as that person. No, he will ask you, what did you do with what I gave you? Here's another question. Where do you go from where you are? Where do you take off from here? If you're stuck right now, what do I do? Can God get me somewhere from here? Well, I'm telling you the answer is yes. God can work with you as is, as you are. The question is will you let him? Or will you say to yourself, boy, if I could just get over here and be like this, then I could be really useful to God. God's not interested in that, who you want to be. He's dealing with who you actually are. The question is, will you and I deal with who we actually are? We have to discern our own limitations. Moving this into the church, into the leadership of the church. How do we integrate the gift of limits into the church? And I think this congregation does that quite well, actually. One of the things he talks about in Peter Scazzaro's book, he talks about self-care of leaders. Are leaders allowed to be the human beings they are? Do they get rest? Do they take care of themselves as humans? Or are they pushed into a position where they always feel like they have to be supermen and superwomen? And I would say we do quite well at that. But it's important that we continue forward in that, knowing that leaders are human beings and people as well. And we don't have to put on a special guise or disguise, I should say, to be doing ministry in this church. And I think one of the things that the church has to do and does is that it limits the ability of people who are wearing disguises. People who will come and say, well, the Lord told me this, and so you need to do it this way. And my answer is usually with the old Swedes in the Covenant and the Free Church. Where stands it written? Let's talk about what God has to say. And there are some people who are given to being divisive in the church. And that is one of the things in the New Testament, along with false teaching and along with sexual immorality, that people are to be removed from leadership and removed even from this fellowship sometimes. That is the limitations we live with, the limitations of human nature. If you're a leader in this church, whatever ministry you're doing, or if you're being asked to do something, we want you to have the freedom to say no. We also want you to have the freedom to say yes, to know that you're being asked and you're being thought of in that way. We need this help. Not everybody has to do everything. And that is just part of serving in the body of Christ, which is a human body, by the by. So we integrate the gift of limits into our church in many, many ways. We want you, we want me, we want everybody to feel like this is a place I can grow in the way that God is growing me right now. I'm in a difficult place, or I'm in a great place, whatever it is. I can come here and I can be surrounded by other people who are in different phases of their lives and their spiritual walks. And I will find encouragement and support in this place because we are all limited beings. Finally, this. Watch God. Watch God. When you've acknowledged your limitations, when we have acknowledged our limitations, watch Him work. Watch Him work through our limitations. Let God deal with what belongs to Him. He is the one who gets to be in control. He's the one who gets to say what is and what isn't right and wrong. So we need to find the joy of knowing that God did this. If we're too perfect, if we're so great, guess who we end up fooling with our disguises? We fool ourselves. We can't tell the difference after a while between what God is doing and what we're doing because we're just so wonderful. Believe me, God knows. And so we want to know the joy of saying, God did this. I want the joy of knowing I took my life out to its limits. I accepted the limits. I thank God for the limits. I did everything I could with what I had. And knowing that everything He did was clearly His doing because it's just beyond my limits. And it's just beyond our limits. That is the joy. I know what I can and what I cannot do. Will you let God do for you what only He can do? That's the question for us as we close this time together today. Will you let Him do for you what only He can do? Or are you driven to make other people think that I can do that? Oh, he's that good. He can do that. She's that good. She's so sharp. Let God do what only He can do. That is what His salvation is all about, is doing for us what we simply are unable to do for ourselves. We build a tower called Babel because we want to get to be like God. We want to get where God is. And yet, it is only through recognizing that I can't get there from here. When we recognize that, then we are ready to say, who is this God? Who is this Jesus, the Messiah, the one who accepted His limitations as a human being and passed through death and into eternal life and was raised again so that we could follow Him to that place without limitations? Let's pray. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for staying human for our sake, for being on our team, for doing in the desert wilderness what Adam and Eve could not do in the best garden of all, for resisting that temptation that said, forget your limits. You go do what you want to do. Lord, teach us to number our days. Teach us to know ourselves, to know one another, and to be known by you. Give us the joy of that. Give us the glory of that, of walking with you and just knowing that we belong to you. Not that we're, you know, we're not being lazy but saying, well, I can't do that, so I won't try. Lord, you know, teach us to be in that balance, doing all we can do, but knowing where the end of that is and knowing what it is that you have truly done for us. And we just thank you. Thank you so much for this salvation that we have. And Lord, anyone who's here today who's never started that journey, Lord, we would welcome them to be with us. Lord, if they would say in their hearts, if you will say in your heart today, Lord, I believe you raised from the dead. You died for my sins and you were raised from the dead. I want to follow you the rest of my days. If you will say that in your heart today, you have begun that journey. God says you are my child and I want you with me forever. Thank you, Lord, for all these things. In Jesus' name.